Well, this morning, the message is titled, Where Are You Going? And the reality is, at the beginning of this year, as I've sort of prayed and sort of sought the Lord of what He would have me share, I felt like He gave me three questions, but as I sort of stepped back, I felt like He said, take some time to reflect, listen, and process with God. And so last week, we looked at who is my neighbor. And it's the way that the Lord was presenting it is just an opportunity for you, if you choose to sort of pull back and say, what do I really think about this? What do I really believe? Is there areas where God wants to speak to me specifically about situations in my life around this issue? And it's the same for what we're going to talk about today of where are you going? And so we're going to cover a little bit of Bible today. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew 28, and we're going to start in verse 16. And it says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So obviously Jesus is speaking with his disciples. And he says to them, he's right before he's going to ascend into heaven. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. It's a command. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, right? And then he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he gives a command, but he also gives a promise. As you go, know that I'm always with you. I will always be with you. But the go, therefore, is a command to his disciples. Right, so one of the places, as we've been reading through Scripture, even from last year, it's like, what do you really believe? Is the command that he gave the disciples that were standing in his presence that day, was that command just for them? Or is it for all disciples? Is there a call on all disciples to go? Or is it just those who heard him? I mean, he says, make disciples, teaching them all I've commanded you. That in itself is a convincing argument that it's probably for all disciples. But you're the one who has to decide. Okay, here we go. If you believe it's for all disciples, then where are you going in 2025? Or have you already done it? Check. I already went. You done? That's a good question. That's not in my notes. But the reality is, you know, sometimes we hear a command from the Lord and we feel like we've already done it. I did that in my 40s. I went. I evangelized. I went to the streets of San Francisco. I went to the Tenderloin. I went to here, there. I knocked on people's doors. I passed out tracts. I've already done that. The question the Lord's asking, I think, for today is where are you going this year? We're going to look at it. When Jesus walked on earth, where did he go? Like last week, we talked about how Jesus, he did and he modeled what he told his disciples to do. I can't think of an example other than baptizing where Jesus commanded his disciples to do something that he didn't actually do. But one example where we see in the scripture where Jesus went is found in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 26. It says, Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man with whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much God had done for him. So Jesus goes to the county or country of the Gerasenes, right? It's across the lake. We know that the people that are there are Gentiles because they're raising pigs, right? That would not be something Jewish people would do. And Jesus goes because of apparently one man, this man who's been tormented by demons. Nobody in the land could help the man. There was nothing they could do. They tried to bind him. They tried to care for him. But everything that they tried was to no avail. And yet Jesus goes and he takes authority over the demonic oppression that's happening in the life of this man. And he sets the man free from his torment. The response of the locals is fear. Fear about Jesus, about what happened. They couldn't help this man. There was nothing they could do. They also lost a lot of their pigs because they were drowned in the water. But the real person I want to focus on, or what I want to focus in the passage, is Jesus' interaction with this man after he's been delivered. It says in verse 38 that the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So here we have this man who's been tormented for years. We don't know the whole length of his torment. Nobody could help him. Jesus sets him free in an instant just by casting the demons out. The man is back in his right mind. He's clothed. He's completely set free. And he begs Jesus to let him go with him. What does Jesus do? Right? It seems like a natural response. Jesus has been telling others, "Come follow me, come follow me." And here's a guy who's begging to follow him. And Jesus has a different response. He says, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." That's interesting to me. Jesus ultimately says to the man, "Therefore, go." Go. Is the man fully equipped? He spent an instant with Jesus. Is he fully equipped to go? Many would say no. And yet Jesus assesses the situation and he commands the man to go back to his home and to share all the things that God has done for him. And the man obeys. I don't think he had a choice, but he obeys. He had a choice about whether to share. And yet the reality is he goes home, he proclaims throughout the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And so the truth for us, bring it here, 2025, for some of you, Jesus is going to tell you to go home, to go to your families, go to your relatives, go to your friends and declare the goodness of God, to demonstrate the love of God in a new and fresh way, right? Some of us, we feel like, well, we've already done that. My whole family knows that I'm a follower of Jesus. My whole family has heard the testimonies of the goodness of God in my life. Why should I go to them again? And yet for some in the sound of my voice, that's the goal this year from the Lord. He's saying, go again. Go fresh. There's new strategies or new opportunities. Maybe there is a need for some fresh humility for you. Like maybe there's a sense of how you've gone in the past is not the way to go, because there's something new that happens, has to happen inside of you before you can go. Because it's been more about your opinions than it has been about the love of the Lord, right? Go make disciples. Love those in your family and friendship networks who need to encounter the love of Jesus and the goodness of God, right? What about the disciples of Jesus? Where did they go? We're going to look at two examples. The first is found in Acts 9, and it's about a man by the name of Ananias. It says in verse 9, Acts 9, verse 9, it says, Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the followers of Jesus, and he has a power encounter. I'm sorry. We're going to start in verse 10. This is my verse 9. No. So the reality is Saul's on his way to Damascus, and his goal is to persecute the church, to persecute those who are followers of Jesus. And while he's on the road, he has this power encounter with Jesus, and he's blinded. He's knocked off his horse, right? And they have to lead him into the city. And then we start in verse 10. It says, Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, he says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, and the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So Ananias has a specific call. He has a vision from the Lord, and he's called to go to a stranger in his own city. Someone he's heard about, but he doesn't know. The Lord says, Rise, go to the street called Straight. It's very specific. Go to the house of Judas and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. Behold, he's praying. He's actually seen a vision of you coming. Right? That's really cool. So that he could regain his sight. And Ananias, we see, is fearful because of the report that he's heard about this man, Saul, his reputation. And the fear of the Lord, though, is stronger in Ananias than the fear of man. So somewhere in that process, Ananias gets it. He's terrified of Saul, and rightly, because Saul's been putting people into prison and killing them. And yet, the word of the Lord to Ananias was, go to this man. And Ananias trusts the word of the Lord and the command he has been given, and he goes to Saul. And ultimately, he loves Saul and demonstrates the power of the gospel, compassion, and the truth of Jesus. Saul commits his life to follow Jesus and is baptized by Ananias. That's pretty cool. And so some of you, as we fast forward to this year, Jesus is going to send you to strangers in your own city or county. There's people that he knows that needs to have a conversation with you, that needs the substances of heaven that you carry. They need to have an encounter with that. And like Ananias, you'll have to decide between the fear of the Lord or the fear of man. Ananias said yes. And his yes allowed him to be a part of both the healing and the conversion of one of the greatest disciples there ever was in the history of the church. But Ananias didn't know that when he said yes. Like, we know the end of the story, and so it feels like, well, of course he said yes. God told him it was going to be okay, and this was what's going to happen. And now put yourself in that place. Has God ever told you to go do something with some specific details that it ended up happening the way that he said it was going to happen? I've had that experience. But all along the way, I was like, is this really going to happen? Are you sure? Right? So just to be honest. But Ananias, he simply goes with the love and the power of the truth of Jesus. And so when Jesus calls you in a vision or on the telephone, right? I don't know how he's going to call you. When he calls you, how will you respond? Will you go and demonstrate the love of God? And will you make disciples and love those in your city and county who need to encounter the love of Jesus and the goodness of God? Part of why it's important to reflect before you get the call is to prepare your heart for when you get the call. Does that make sense? That's why we're having this message today. My expectation is that every single person who calls Grace Home is going to have a call of some sense this year. And so we've looked at two areas. One, to your family or your friendship networks. The other is to strangers in your city or county. Let's look at another disciple. Philip. So he was a disciple. He was one of the seven chosen to serve the church alongside Stephen. He was not one of the original apostles. There's another Philip, right? He came into the church sometime after Peter's sermon. And he went to Samaria when the believers were being persecuted when Stephen was martyred, okay? And his story that we're going to pick it up is in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" So Philip is very different than Ananias. He was called to go in a direction, right? Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It ultimately is a desert place. It's like, I'm sending you to the middle of nowhere. Go. He doesn't tell Philip why. He doesn't tell Philip what's he going to find. It's very different than Ananias. Ananias had the play-by-play. Go to this house, this place, this street, this person, do this. Philip doesn't get any of that. He says, go in the south. Go to the south to the road in the desert. But he goes. And when he's on the road, he sees a chariot. And the Spirit comes and says to him, go over and join this chariot. Again, it doesn't say do this. It doesn't say when you get in the chariot, this guy's going to be reading Isaiah. I want you to lead him to the Lord. He doesn't hear any of that. He just sees the chariot. The Spirit says, go to the chariot. And in the chariot, there's this man from Ethiopia. He's returning from Jerusalem, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. We're not going to go through the whole text, but Philip reveals the truth about who Jesus is to the man. And when they come across some water, again, we don't know how big the puddle was, right? But it's a little bit of water. Philip baptizes him, right? Philip loves the man with the power and the truth of the gospel. There was a specific purpose for Philip in the life of this man. And for some of you this year, Jesus is going to send you to other regions, places maybe you don't even know about yet. And he might just send you in a direction. Can you trust him? Will you trust that you'll have eyes to see and wisdom to know what to do when you get there? Right? The Ethiopian eunuch, he became a follower of Jesus in that moment. He's baptized, Right? We were talking with one of our congregants, right? That and it came up last week in the passage we read about baptism, is that all disciples, Jesus commands all disciples to go and baptize. Right? So you don't need to be a pastor to baptize. Any disciple is qualified to baptize. And you see that with Ananias, and you see that with Philip, right? So just that's an aside. But this Ethiopian eunuch, he brings the gospel back to his nation. And you can trace it through the history books. When Jesus calls you, how will you respond? Will you go and demonstrate the love of Jesus? Will you make disciples and love those in other regions who need to encounter the love of Jesus and the goodness of God? In your heart of hearts, do you feel like you're ready for that today? Right? That's a question between you and the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples right before he ascends into heaven, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." All right, so it starts really close to the home of Israel, Jerusalem, goes out to Judea, and then ultimately it's the ends of the earth, which is as far as you can imagine. And in Acts after Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we see that the disciples, right, the original disciples and then the disciples of the disciples, go to Jerusalem, Samaria, Caesarea, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, Ephesus, Malta, Rome, and some other places. Right? So they go. The modern day world that they knew, they go to in one way or another. As the church has grown over the years, we see individuals like George Whitefield came from England to the United States of America. Right? Before it was the United States of America, I think. Anyway, I don't know. Hudson Taylor went to China. Think about the church in China if it wasn't for Hudson Taylor. John G. Lake went to South Africa and then Spokane, Washington. Steve Gola, he went to Guatemala, right? Heidi Baker went to Mozambique. Seth Howland, some of you guys may know him, he went to Romania for a season. Several of you went to Brazil a few years ago. Lisa went to Belize last year. That wasn't on her screen when the year started last year. The reality is that since Jesus said these words right before his ascension, disciples have traveled all over the world with the love, power, and the truth of the gospel. And for some of you this year, Jesus is going to actually send you to other nations. When he calls you, how will you respond? Are you ready? Like the disciples who've come before you, will you go and demonstrate the love of God? Whether you know all the information or not, right? Will you make disciples and love those in other nations who need to encounter the love of Jesus and the goodness of God? Right. Romans 10 says in verse 14 to 15, it says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" This is Paul speaking. "And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so as a follower of Jesus, if you're in the sound of my voice, whether you're listening on the podcast or in person, and you have a relationship with Jesus, then you abide in Jesus and he abides in you. You embody the good news of the gospel. It's inside of you. The fullness of the good news of the gospel is in you. And you host the authority, power, love, and truth of Jesus because he gave it to you. Do you want your feet to be as beautiful as his? Ever asked yourself that question? Do you want your feet to be as beautiful as Jesus's? I've never asked that question until I read this passage earlier this week. Never thought about my feet very much. But when I think of Jesus' feet, right, they embody this, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Jesus was the good news. He's got some beautiful feet. Do I want my feet to be as beautiful as his? And the reality is that Jesus has already commissioned you to go if you're a disciple. You've already been commissioned. You don't need a new commission. I think that's sometimes that's what happens for us if we walked with the Lord for a while, is we may have had seasons in our life where we felt like this compelling sense, you're supposed to go. And then because we don't get a specific word, or he doesn't come knocking on our door, we have this grand vision and that kind of thing, we feel like, well, he obviously doesn't have anything else for me. But we don't give him the opportunity by asking him. And so today, really, the invitation is, will you spend some time with Jesus this week and ask him, God, is there any place you want me to go? Is there any person you want me to go to? Whether that's in my family or in this city or county that I live in, whether that's to a different region or to a different nation, and see what he says. Obviously, if you don't hear something, then you don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense? You also don't have to compare. Like, say he calls one person to go to their family, and he calls another person to go to another nation. One is not a higher calling. The key is, as you walk in the fear of the Lord, you obey what the Lord is calling you to do. That's what glorifies him. One nation is not grander than another. One person is not grander than another. Really, what it matters is, like Ananias, was he a better believer because he influenced Paul, Saul, Paul, than Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch? Was one better than the other? I don't think so, right? They both had a specific assignment for them because of what they carried. Could God have gone to any other disciple in Damascus than Ananias? I don't know, but he went to Ananias. We don't know the whys. My guess is if God's coming to you and inviting you somewhere, there's probably a good reason, and it has more to do with you than what he's inviting you into. Like, we don't hear anything else about Ananias. It's his only claim to fame in the scriptures. We don't know nothing about this guy. And yet, what an amazing testimony to be the one that heals, baptizes Saul, who becomes Paul, who changes the face of the church, right? The reality today is you don't need a new commission. You've already been commissioned. But will you lean in and hear Jesus' heartbeat for the specific instructions that he has for you in 2025? And once you hear, will you say yes? For some of you, he may invite you to one place, one person. For others, it may be tens. Others, it might be hundreds. Who knows, right? Again, it's not about comparison. The question really is, will you, as you hear what he says to you, will you trust him that he's equipped you for where he's sending you, and that you're meant to partner with heaven to advance the kingdom in the life of the person or the region or whatever he sends you into, right? The nation. And so ultimately, will you say yes? And again, that's between you and the Lord. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the Great Commission, and that you entrusted your disciples with all authority to go and make disciples, go to all nations, to baptize in your name, to lead people into all the things that you commanded them. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and we're some of those disciples that others went to, that went to, that went to, that went to, that went to share the gospel with us. And now here we sit in 2025, and we sort of stand before you, Lord, and we say, is there any place that you would send us? Is there any person or people group or region or nation or area that you have on your heart for us this year. Maybe it's to people in our families that we've already gone to, and it feels like we've walked that road and it hasn't availed much. But maybe you're saying, do it again. Do it this way. Will you dare to trust me again? Will you dare to share the goodness of God in the land of the living with those in your family and friendship networks again? Others, you're going to invite us to go to strangers, people we don't know, in our city or our county, places that maybe we've never been to before. And you're going to either give us specific instructions or you're just going to send us in a direction. And I pray, Jesus, that when we hear that call from you, that you would move in our hearts with the love and compassion of Jesus, and that we would trust you enough to go and just to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit wherever we find ourselves. And others you're going to send to different regions, places that is maybe out in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't make any sense, and yet you have a specific plan or strategy that can only be accomplished if someone says yes. And for others, you'll send us to different nations, things that haven't been on our screen, or maybe they've been growing inside of us, and now is the year that it's supposed to happen. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would breathe on that. Holy Spirit, would you awaken or continue to maybe reawaken or develop that inner thing in our spirit that says, I know I'm supposed to go to this place. There's something that God has for me there, that's something I'm supposed to release in that land. And we just give your permission to get our attention, Lord. And I pray that for anyone in the sound of my voice, where this topic raises an element of fear, where it says, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'll be willing if I hear the call. I don't even want to ask the question. And wherever there's a spirit of fear around that, Lord, I pray that you would come and address it with your grace and with your mercy, that you would just wash over us. You would remind us of the truth of who you are, both your power and authority, but also just your goodness and your kindness. You would never lead us into an arena or an area or to a person and not fully equip us for where you send us. And we just pray for your grace to remember that. So when we hear the call, we can stand with confidence and say, I trust you. I want to walk with you. I just want to be where you are. I want to go where you go. I want to love like you love. I want my feet to look like yours, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move in people's hearts, more so even that you would move in their spirit, and they would commune with you, Holy Spirit, this week. I pray for some that they would enjoy the surprise when they hear what you have for them this year. Or as they go throughout the year, maybe it's in March, or maybe it's in July, they hear. They've been saying, God, every day or every week they bring it back and they say, Lord, is there any place? And they don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden in July they hear. And I just pray, Jesus, we give you the gamut. Like you can do whatever you want with this. I just pray that you would make our hearts good soil. You would prepare our hearts for whenever you come and you reveal something that you would have us do, or a place you would have us go, or a person you would have us go to. Yeah. We give you permission to minister to our hearts today. Yeah. And so we celebrate what you're doing. We celebrate your question. And we celebrate your commission. And we celebrate what you've entrusted us with and how you've created each one of us uniquely. And we ask that you would seal it, Jesus, for your glory. Yeah. And we celebrate in advance the testimonies that will come from 2025 because of the yeses of the people of grace. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.